cats and kittens? Oh, wait a minute, I'm not Carol Baskin. I'm John Miller, and this is Locked on Mizzou, your destination for partisan Missouri Tigers football and basketball talk 5 days a week. And you know, one of my most recent episode, I did make some references to the Netflix docuseries Tiger King that is indeed sweeping the nation, fortunately at a much faster rate than the coronavirus even. How about that? But no, in all seriousness, I thought it was really bizarre. I'm now 5 episodes through this thing, so no spoilers on the last 2 episodes, please. But yeah, Tiger King. I was watching this thing, and Carol Baskin, Carol Baskin, one of the main characters of this thing, one of the main real-life characters of this docuseries, well, she has a YouTube page, and, well, she starts her thing with, "Hey, all you cool cats and kittens," which, bizarrely enough, she says it in almost the exact same rhythm that I do, and strangely enough, a very similar wording and the exact same amount of syllables. Well, I can assure you, I've been doing this for a few months, way before Tiger King came out. And I'd never heard of old Carol Baskin, so a bizarre coincidence there, to say the least. I just thought that was a funny note to start out on. But anyway, now that I've sufficiently covered my own butt regarding any lawsuits from one Carol Baskin and her YouTube channel, well, I'd just like to say it's time to get to some Tiger football and basketball, shall we? And, well, there's a lot to get to in terms of Tiger basketball right now because, well, Trey Jackson is gone, and that means there's another spot potentially open for the 2020-21 season. So there's 2 spots that Konzo Martin can play with. Plus, I want to tell you more about 3 legends from Mizzou's past that perhaps you've forgotten about, maybe aren't familiar with, maybe as much as you should be. But first, you know what? I want to talk more about quarterbacks. That's been kind of a running theme on this episode, or on this show, I should say, lately, hasn't it? And if you have been following this show, you know I feel pretty good about Mizzou's position in terms of the quarterbacks of the future. And I'm not even necessarily talking about Sean Robinson in this upcoming season, although I've heard some promising things about him. I'm mostly talking about the younger guys. In spite of the fact that Connor Bazelak, and in my opinion, had somewhat of a fluky ACL injury in the Arkansas game to close out last season, I tend to expect that he's going to be fine long term. Again, a weird late slide, ends up awkwardly tearing his ACL there. But, you know, again, these days, he's a young guy. That seems like an injury that long term shouldn't affect him too much. And just from the little we saw from him, again, like him a lot. Also, again, I've done a couple film breakdowns in the last week and a half or so. One on Brady Cook yesterday. Excuse me, I blanked there for a second. But yeah, yesterday I broke down Brady Cook's film in pretty good detail. And previous to that, we did Tyler Macon from East St. Louis as well. You know, again, Cook enrolled early. He's on campus, or at least he was until this whole COVID-19 thing, right? And well, then Tyler Macon will be coming in 2021. So in spite of all that, in spite of 3 consecutive classes there, in my opinion, 3 pretty good options, Mizzou's still looking at more quarterbacks. In fact, notably, 4-star dual threat quarterback Donovan McCulley from Indianapolis. Well, he's still on Mizzou's radar, so that's interesting. He'd be in the same class as Tyler Macon if he ultimately ended up at Mizzou. I'm not necessarily expecting that. I wouldn't be surprised if it sounds like there's a decent chance he might stay closer to home and go to Indiana or possibly Purdue. But one thing I thought was funny is, well, he's listed as a dual threat quarterback, which really strikes me as kind of an antiquated term in this day and age. I mean, what exactly does that mean? I mean, I understand it means, well, maybe he's more of back in the day, okay, there was sort of the option quarterback, right? That made more sense. If there was an option style, triple option, you know, think Tommy Frazier, right? And then it was like, okay, and then there was the other classification. They'd throw in, you know, your Drew Bledsoe, your Tom Brady's, your Peyton Manning's, your sort of classic statuesque passer types, even, you know, Dante Culpepper, as pro style quarterbacks. And I don't know, to me, in this day and age, what is a pro-style quarterback? You know, we've just had two guys who are about maybe 6 feet tall at most taken number one overall in consecutive drafts in Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. It just seems like that whole thing of, oh, this is the pro-style quarterback. I just don't know that anybody really wants the old statuesque, big-armed, big-bodied Joe Flacco, Peyton Manning type anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're as good as Peyton Manning, you're as good as Tom Brady, you can still make it work. Now, those guys are mobile inside of the pocket, but nobody would claim that they're a dual threat, right? I'm just saying these days it seems like the actual ability to make something happen with your legs, whether it's inside the pocket or outside the pocket, is just absolutely paramount. And if you have no ability to at least be able to take off up the middle on third down and eight when man coverage is just, when it's a four-man rush and they go man-to-man across the board, if you can't take off and at least get 10 yards and a first down there, really, you probably shouldn't even be playing the position anymore, unless you're just really, really spectacularly good with the arm. There just aren't many of those guys anymore. You've got to be a better overall athlete in general to play this position, in my opinion. So, I don't know. To me, let's get rid of that whole dual threat versus pro-style quarterback designation. Let's just throw them all into the same bunch. To me, that's a cop-out. You got to evaluate these guys on who's going to be the most effective. Like, obviously, a guy like Lamar Jackson does it a little bit different than Patrick Mahomes or Phillip Rivers or whoever it might be. Obviously, those are three very different guys I just pointed out there. But the point is you got to figure out who's going to be the most effective among these three guys, despite their very disparate skill sets. That's the job. It's not to go, oh, well, I'm just going to cop out and throw all the tall guys who can't run supposedly into one camp and all the dual threat quote unquote guys into another camp. I don't know. I'm not a fan. But you know what I am a fan of? Yeah, you know where this is going. Oh, yes. Monocle's Pizza in O'Fallon, Missouri. And once again, oh, bacon on pizza. I love you so much. How have I not known my whole life how great bacon is on pizza until recently? Well, certainly over at Monocle's, they'll give you all the bacon on the pizza that you desire, all the toasted ravs that you desire, because yes, they're still doing carry-out orders over at Monocle's Pizza on 1224 Highway K, again, in O'Fallon. Just go to monocles.com, try the Monocle's app, or give them a call at 636-980-1212. Get $5 off your large specialty pizza when you mention Locked On, or use the online promo code Locked On. Limit one per customer. Again, that's Monocle's Pizza in O'Fallon, Missouri. Tell them Locked On sent you. And coming up, we're going to talk about the Tigers and their basketball roster. What are they going to do with those last two spots? We'll talk all about it right after the break. Well, if you follow a bunch of college basketball writers on the internet, on the old Twitter machine, as I do, it sure seems like all signs are pointing to the Tiger basketball team adding a veteran graduate transfer that is immediately eligible to help next season. And well, obviously this is a big season coming up for Konzo Martin in a lot of ways, so adding immediate help certainly makes a lot of sense. And one of the names that's popped up on the radar is Bowling Green's Justin Turner, who averaged nearly 19 points a game last season. When you sort of peek deeper into his numbers, it's not totally clear that he's a bona fide superstar or anything. You know, he shot 35% from three, which for Mizzou is pretty gosh darn good. That would have probably led the team, but 43% on twos. What he really does best is draws contact, gets to the free throw line, and makes a lot of free throws as well, but not necessarily the world's most efficient scorer, but certainly somebody, a 6'4" guard. You know, Missouri just needs any kind of scoring help it can really get. So obviously if they can get Justin Turner, that's somebody who'd be interesting to me. You know, unfortunately the grad transfer market isn't always as great as you might hope. I mean, Cassius Robertson, really, he was more the exception than anything. I mean, he was so good for Missouri a couple years ago, so much better than we could have possibly expected, especially considering we were just expecting him to come in, be an excellent shooter, which he was, but the fact that he took on so much ball handling, so much of that lead guard role, I mean, once again, Cassius Robertson, only here for a year, but tip of the cap to that kid, man. What a transfer he was. What a find. I also noticed that, according to John Rothstein on Twitter, Jalen Harris, who you might remember that name, he was on Arkansas this past season. Well, he's been in contact with Mizzou as well, along with many other names. And honestly, again, you look into Jalen Harris, I think he had his moments against Mizzou this year, if I'm remembering correctly, but he just looks to me like another brick-laying guard, you know, another sub-30% three-point shooter. I don't know. I think I'm good on Jalen Harris. I think I'm good on a guy who really isn't that great of a scorer. We've kind of got enough guys who aren't particularly adept at making the three-pointer, right? The thing is, obviously, while all signs, again, point to Missouri adding a senior who will be immediately eligible next year, that still leaves one more spot available. And quite honestly, that's basically the Josh Christopher spot, right? Nicodemus Christopher's nephew, we've talked about him here and there on this program. Well, he's a five-star wing. He's a guy that obviously Missouri would take in a heartbeat. They're basically saving that spot for him. It doesn't look like Missouri is going to get a commitment from him. It doesn't look like it's the tea leaves have looked that way for a long time. I would also think that this whole COVID-19 thing, it's going to make it difficult to get him on campus too. He lives out on the West Coast. If they can't get him for one more in-person visit, probably going to be tough to seal the deal there. So honestly, in all likelihood, I could easily see them just carrying that one scholarship over. Because, well, if you think about it, you might think, well, they could get two grad transfers maybe. And while I wouldn't totally rule that out, you're already looking at graduating five guys next year, right? We've got five seniors on the roster currently. Assuming Jeremiah Tillman sticks around, which it looks like he will at this point, you've also got Mitchell Smith, Drew Smith, Mark Smith, and Axel Okongo all slated to graduate. Then maybe you pick up a Justin Turner, another senior. That's six guys. Do you really want to have seven guys in one season leave the program? Now you're looking at really having to almost kind of do the Frank Haith game again of having to patch together a bunch of transfers and yada, yada, yada. Who knows? Maybe it's worth it. It depends on the player, and certainly not all every situation is the same. It just shows the kind of dance, kind of little bit of a high wire act that Konzo Martin and his staff are going to have to pull off the next couple years here. Because again, once all those guys graduate after next year, there's not going to be a whole lot of players left. Now that McKinney's gone, Trey Jackson's gone, there's just not much left. So it's going to be interesting to see how this roster shakes out. And you know what? What else I think you'll find interesting is my next segment about three guys from my Mizzou football and basketball madness bracket that you can vote on right now at LockedOnMizzou.com. Just a fun bracket, but hey, I want to hear from you, the Mizzou fans, on this thing. So we'll talk about three Mizzou legends coming right up. All right, I want to talk about two guys from the gridiron, but you know what? First, let's stick with the hardwood, shall we? And I tell you, most Mizzou fans definitely remember, even if you weren't alive for it, like I wasn't, very famously, Steve Stepanovich and John Sunvold are known for winning Big Eight championships in all 4 years of their career. And you know what? As impressive as that is, it's kind of unfortunate that that unbelievable feat has somewhat overshadowed Ricky Frazier's career as history has gone on here, in my opinion. Maybe you don't agree with that, but I'll tell you, regardless of what you think, Ricky Frazier was one heck of a player. And you know what? He won a Big Eight title in all his seasons at Missouri as well, in all three of his seasons at Mizzou, having spent his freshman year as a St. Louis Billiken. Well, you know, remember I recently called out the annoying portion of the SLU fan base that's always picking at Mizzou fans and acting like we duck them? Well, maybe this is the origin story of that. Perhaps us stealing Ricky Frazier is why some of those people are a little bit bitter. But Regardless, Frazier, just really an unbelievable player in his own right, despite being a little bit overshadowed by maybe some of his great teammates. But, you know, again, Frazier closes his Big 8 career by winning the Big 8 Player of the Year, I should say, in 1982, third-team All-American. And again, back to the Stipo and Sunvold thing, his career total of 1,448 points was the Mizzou record, but it was only that record for just 1 year, because then the following season, his teammates each passed him. Stipo and Sunvold passed it. And then later, well, Derek Chivas would pass them all there later in the late 80s. But really, again, the peak of that Stipo-Sunvold era was with Ricky. That 1981-82 team went 27-4. Again, Ricky was Big 8 Player of the Year. They only were knocked out in the Sweet 16 by Phi Slamma Jamma. Yeah, that's right. The Houston Cougars with Akeem, as he was known at the time, Olajuwon, and Clyde Drexler. Yeah, I've heard of those guys. Lost 79-78. Despite Ricky Frazier's career-high 29 points, they couldn't pull it off. But really, the Tigers were mad at themselves at the end of that game. They blamed their 18 turnovers. They also only 18 of 31 at the free throw line. So, unfortunately, that cost them there at the very end. But still, 81-82, one of the great seasons in Missouri history. And Ricky Frazier, a gigantic reason why. Let's not forget that. And speaking of things not to forget, I will never forget that there's only one man on this bracket who was once my actual, real, across-the-street neighbor, and that's Phil Bradley. Yes, Mr. Bradley probably has absolutely no idea who I am to this day, but yes, tons of wild times over at the Bradley house. No, just kidding. No, Phil and his wife, very, very lovely people, but, you know, what can I say? I'm quite a bit younger, and we weren't exactly partying it up with the Bradleys every night. But no, in all seriousness, that's not the point of this. The point of this is celebrating one of the great Mizzou athletes of all time. And certainly, Phil Bradley is that, because, well, at one point, he was the Big 8's all-time yardage leader. Three times he made the All-Big 8. That's despite really kind of being forced into action really before he was ready as a freshman, from everything I've ever heard. But you know what? The guy won games at Notre Dame as a starter, at Nebraska as a starter. Frankly, it sounds like he took way too much criticism. It just, you know, as quarterbacks sort of often do when things aren't going as fans hoped or expected. But, you know, again, you really look back at it, it's hard to criticize him too much. Guy had two bowl victories, one over LSU, one over South Carolina, rode Missouri to as high as number 5 in 1979, and as high as number 9 in the nation in 1980. And of course, that famous 1978 team was wildly up and down, but, you know, just an incredible triumph, obviously, that famous win at Nebraska. Bradley was incredible. James Wilder was as well. And obviously those two, James Wilder and Phil Bradley, kind of synonymous as a backfield combo. Of course, Wilder, the running back, to Bradley's quarterback. But also, well, speaking of incredible athletes, Bradley, again, for our brackets purposes, this is only about his football career, but you can't mention Phil Bradley without mentioning that he also played in the All-Star game in Major League Baseball for the Seattle Mariners. So, hey, not too shabby there, right? How many guys can say they've made an All-Star game in baseball and were the Big 8's all-time yardage leader at one point? I would say one guy, and it's Phil Bradley. And finally, I want to tell you about yet another St. Louis football Cardinal. Man, those guys really loved drafting Mizzou legends back in the day, didn't they? Well, before he made it to the Cardinals, Worley was just an unbelievable player. In his college career, the Tigers were 24-8 overall, finishing 9th and 6th nationally in his junior and senior years. In 1968, Worley led the nation in punt returns, averaging 12 a return. Just an all-around incredible athlete. The guy was really renowned for when he would get in the open field, although he was a defensive player, he was as known for being elusive with the ball in his hands as almost anything. Worley was two-time All-Big Eight, and he was also the Big Eight Defensive Player of the Year his senior season. And, well, before he got to the draft, he actually shot up the board a couple rounds, by all accounts, in pre-draft workouts. Worley ran a 4.5 40-yard dash, which at the time was quite the number and isn't too shabby in this day and age either. Now, granted, in this day and age, you've got cornerbacks running 4.3s, 4.2s even, 4.29 somebody ran at this year's combine. But, you know, even the slower guys ran 4.45. So, you know, Worley wasn't too far off of the speed of this day and age, really. Obviously, you know, we're talking 50 years ago at this point, but the fact that he ran a 4.5 shot him from about a third rounder to up in the first round, where the Cardinals took him, I believe, with the 19th overall pick. And Roger Staubach, the legendary Cowboys quarterback, called Worley the best corner he ever played against and believes that the term shut down corner originated with him. And by the way, Roger also was frequently the holder on place kicks and even scored a touchdown on a fake all the way back in 82, one of his last seasons in the league. Actually, it may have been his last season, and in fact, it was his last season, was 82, so he got himself a TD there. Finally, 2007, Roger was voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, becoming the second Tiger to receive that honor. Kellen Winslow inducted in 1995. And you know what? That'll about wrap it up. How can you do better than getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? So, obviously, a belated congratulations to Roger Worley on that honor, but hope you enjoyed this little ride, I should say, down memory lane as much as I did. Again, vote for the Mizzou Football and Madness Bracket at LockedOnMizzou.com. And be sure to check out Draft Dudes over on the Locked On Network if you want to find out who the next Roger Worley is in this coming draft. I would definitely encourage you to do so. So, until next time, I am John Miller, your Tiger King. And this has been Locked on Mizzou.